Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. So great to be along with you today. What is the United States doing working with the Chinese Communist Party to fund bird flu studies? The United States Department of Agriculture sends $1 million to China to work in collaboration with them on the bird flu. We already see this so-called getting ready for, I don't know what, the next pandemic, when all the evidence shows the bird flu not so dangerous right now, but who knows what happens with this? And the question becomes, didn't America learn its lesson with this gain of function research? And why would we be sending money over there? You got seven congressmen now asking this question. Also, China and the Communist Party upping their ante, attacks against America threefold, not just cyber, which we know is a huge problem, but you have actual crime in America and you have counterintelligence moves being made in America. So we'll talk about this. And then, of course, Taiwan. That is the great prize for Xi Jinping and China. What is the story with that? What do they want out of this with Taiwan? We're going to talk about all of it with the new federal state of China. Ayla Wang is with us. With that, let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, thank you so much for joining me. As always, my guest today is Ayla Wang with the new federal state of China, the organization aimed at taking down the CCP. Ayla, welcome back to the show.
Grant, thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to see you. We got a lot to talk about today. I guess we'll start with Taiwan. And then I want to get into this Department of Agriculture sending $1 million to China to study the bird flu, which boggles my mind. But Taiwan on everyone's mind right now. We got a lot going on in the Middle East. I believe China is behind a lot of what Iran is doing to get the world to take our eye off the ball of what China is doing or is planning. Why don't you bring me up to speed on what the new federal state of China thinks about China, Xi Jinping, and its focus on Taiwan.
Absolutely, Grant. So today, the new federal state of China first revealed that the new, axis of evil's countries, including CCP, Communist China, North Korea, and Iran. And we have confirmed our intelligence again and again with Mao's previous broadcasts that, China, the Chinese Communist Party, has been supporting North Korea and Iran on its defense support, military support, all of the DF series, the J-15 series, and even the nuclear power from the North Korea was actually supported and funded by the Chinese Communist Party. And moreover, CCP have had over 100 people who have been stayed in North Korea and helped their country to build up military bases. This was all intelligence from previous broadcasts from the whistleblowers movement and the new federal state of China. So today, if we're looking at any tensions between China, between Xi Jinping and Taiwan, we want our audience to first understand about the logics behind why would CCP initiate warfare in the world. Many Westerners or many politicians in the West may have believed that there must be some justifications for the Chinese Communist Party to launch a warfare against Taiwan, or they might have doubts saying if CCP is actually capable of initiating a full-scale war against Taiwan. But what we, the new federal state of China, wants to tell the world was the way that the CCP thinks about a warfare against Taiwan is different. For many years, the Chinese Communist Party's top leaders was trying to utilize a war to send their opponents within the Communist Party to the battlefield, to send those who they didn't trust within the party, and to have them killed in the battlefield. And this is how CCP utilized the war to tackle all of the internal issues, internal political fights, and internal political struggles. And today, the same logic remains the same, that Xi Jinping could initiate the warfare at any time to simply just try to remove his opponents within the party.
And so that's interesting. So he would send his own opponents within the Chinese Communist Party to war, hoping they would be killed in that war.
Exactly, Grant. And you know, besides that, right, even beyond sending all of his opponents to the battlefield, the other interest that the CCP can take out from a warfare is that they can utilize, you know, a warfare to distract the Chinese people, that all of the Chinese normal people would be living and be distracted by the fear of war, so that nobody was asking and even protesting against the Chinese government. This is exactly what the CCP wanted ever since establishment in China. They want the Chinese people to understand that the party is the only one who can bring safety to them, and the war is exactly, you know, a tool that they utilize at all times.
So I'm still under the belief, now this is only my own belief, that if and when China, most likely when China goes in and takes Taiwan, I believe they're going to be able to do this without actually going to a full-blown kinetic war. They may do it without a shot being fired, and that will be their ultimate goal. That Taiwan will roll over for them. I still don't see a military invasion of Taiwan. I think Taiwan falls. What do you think about that? What are the whistleblowers telling you about my assessment of that situation?
Absolutely, Grant. You know, there are multiple ways for the Chinese Communist Party to expand its military power to invade Taiwan, culturally, technologically, militarily, right? And if you look at people who have been controlling the House in Taiwan and the legislation office in Taiwan, you found them always connected with the Chinese Communist Party. When their legislator came and visited China, they have asked, they have named Xi Jinping as the Papa Xi. And this is the problem here. We have too many sellouts within Taiwan's government, and this is exactly why, you know, even the former president of Taiwan, Ma Ying-jeou, who just visited China weeks ago, were saying that you need to rely on President Xi on the Taiwan-China relationship. So I agree with you. There are multiple ways, and one of the ways that CCP can take over Taiwan without a single bullet being fired.
Yeah, amazing, really, and we shall see how that plays out. You know, you talk about weakness inside Taiwan government. I think I see weakness inside the United States government as well, with everything going on. I mean, especially with Joe Biden at the helm, weakness seems to be the moniker that can be labeled to this administration. And then I see this report from the Daily Mail that we spent $1 million on research that could literally threaten national security and public health. It involves infecting ducks with different viruses to make them more infectious, all part of gain-of-function research. And this is the United States Department of Agriculture and the Chinese Communist Party working in conjunction at a CCP lab to make this happen. Does the United States not learn its lesson here?
Grant, this is terrible that we were seeing more and more money flowing into CCP, you know, controlled institutions and CCP controlled research programs. If you recall about all of the gain of function and how Dr. Fauci got involved into it, and why, you know, the leader of the Wuhan P4 lab was working with Dr. Fauci while they were in the United States and in Colorado while they were studying, and this, you know, all related together about, you know, a huge stories behind the COVID-19 pandemic. The bird flu is not something new to Chinese people. If you remember that in the early 2000s, there was a bird flu, popping up in the city of Beijing, and at that time it was almost like a small pandemic where people must test temperatures when they go to office and schools, and they even have cases of death in Beijing as well. And you know, as we know from videos and broadcasts from the new federal state of China, bird flu was actually a historical test of how the Chinese Communist government was trying to test out if a pandemic can bring out more of political control strategies against the normal people. And this is what exactly the CCP managed to do during the COVID-19 pandemic. They locked people in their home. They control your food supplies. They can use simply a barcode to tag you so that they can restrict your activity area area. And all these was not just merely a scientific research program, right, Grant? It's a political purpose behind that. And so today, when we're seeing more U.S. money flowing into a CCP-controlled research program, this is exactly where we made mistakes. And we must retrieve that mistakes as soon as possible.
You've got a number of congressmen and women who are now saying, hey, well, enough is enough. How does this happen? And the collaboration is with this is the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which was also involved with the Wuhan lab. And so, again, you think the red flags would go up, but I guess not.
Grant, you know, beyond that, we have even other research programs that were supported and collaborated with other United States institutions. Even if it was not with the Agriculture Department, you look at all of the Ivy Leagues, even universities in Florida, these universities have been collaborating with CCP-controlled and even state-controlled scientific and academic institutions in China to fund, you know, technology researchers, agriculture researchers. All these researchers were merely just transferring data and your intellectual properties from the United States to the Chinese Communist government.
Take a look at this. So this is from the Daily Mail. Recent U.S. taxpayer-funded animal experiments in China. Peking University, $576,000 from the University of China, part of a $1.9 million NIH grant. That's the National Institutes of Health. You got the University of Florida that was giving money, also from a federal grant. University of California, also from a federal grant. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen's Allen Institute, almost $1 million to the Haosong University of Science and Technology, cutting out baby mice brains and slicing them up for analysis. This is all again part of an NIH grant. The list goes on and on and on here. And I think what's interesting is the NIH money, National Institutes of Health, where Fauci's so prominent, the money goes to a U.S. university. And then the U.S. university sends the money to China. I guess that's so the U.S. government can wash its hands of it. But I'm still left thinking, is there not somebody that's saying, wake up, do not give our enemies, and the Chinese Communist Party is most certainly our enemy, do not give our enemies any money to fund research that could come back and kill American citizens?
Grant, this is terrible, and I agree with you, right? The list goes on and on and on, and even it was from a decade ago, we've already seen that CCP's attempt to infiltrate these institutions. What's even worse today is that our federal institutions has been granting these funds into the Chinese Communist Party-controlled programs, and you know, Grant, do you remember how many bio labs that CCP owned? In this world that we have, you know, our whistleblowers have reported in February earlier this year that the CCP had been planning to build up to almost 200 new bioweapon labs in Africa and in the Middle East. Yeah. And Grant, you know, we have stepped into a level which we have to stop all these fundings going into CCP's biological weapon project.
It looks like between 2015 and 2023, seven U.S. entities send over $3.5 million to NIH, to labs in China that funds through the NIH. You have China with 11 P3 level bio labs in the Middle East, Africa, and South America. And then I saw that report of the plans to build upwards of 200 bio labs in those areas as well. Who can forget the bio lab that was in California? Right here on United States soil, this illegal bio lab that was under the radar. And that was one that was just found because a hose was coming out of the building. Now, are there others around America? My guess would probably be yes.
Grant, I will give you one example to tell you what a biolab of the Chinese Communist Party can do to Americans, right? Most of people think of a biolab with directly related to a pandemic, a bird flu, or a COVID-19. The truth is, if you look at a biolab in Nanking, which was the main and the starting point of CCP's production of fentanyl, you understand that how much, you know, effort that the CCP can utilize from simply one biolab base and to produce almost the fentanyl that can kill American people every single minute. The biolab in the Nanking with the majority of its production of fentanyl was actually supported and built upon an Asian American professor in MIT. And so you can always find those links traced back to the United States. And we always find, you know, fundings and supports from this country to strengthen the Chinese Communist Party and building up something that harm us. And this is exactly where the problem is.
All right. So on that point, you've got biolabs and you've got other things. They're buying property up around military bases. When I say they, I mean the Chinese Communist Party. They're building windmills also all across America. And the windmills... I'm going to play a clip from you from Dr. Phil's new show on his new network, Merritt Street, where a gentleman by the name of Kyle Bass, who owns a very big investment firm, talks about what they're using these windmills for. And it's not to produce energy. It's to produce, well, I'm going to let you listen, and then we'll get your response.
They're strategically buying land around that. This is not random. They're in the same county. They're right up against this. How is this happening, Kyle? You're the expert here.
There's one down in Texas that right there on the border near Del Rio.
Right.
Where it's actually a Chinese general. General Sun came in and bought over 100 square miles of land between our most active Air Force training base and our border. And he filed permits to put up windmills. It's an area on a scale of 1 to 10 that might have a wind factor of 3.5. If you and I were putting up a windmill, we'd put it up where it's an 8 or a 10, where there's some wind.
Right.
They want to put up windmills for two reasons. They want to connect directly to the U.S. grid so that they can upload malware to the grid and they can monitor the grid. And they also want to build these windmills 700 feet tall. Imagine a windmill that's almost as tall as the Washington Monument. And they can put cameras up there that map the horizon. And they can map the horizon with 1 square inch of clarity. Right next to our largest Air Force military training base. Every Air Force pilot trains at Laughlin Air Force Base. They can map every person, every plane, every hypersonic that glides by. What it has to do is go through a process called CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which the U.S. Treasury is in charge of. And DOD is a piece of it. State, there are all these different departments that are part of CFIUS, but the U.S. Treasury runs it. Here's the problem. The U.S. Treasury is owned by Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And Wall Street can't wait to invest another dollar in the land of 1.3 billion people of puppy dogs and rainbows and make some more money in China. So whenever anything really comes down to it, if Treasury's in charge, we're in real trouble. And so all of these deals that you're showing here, many of them have just walked through CFIUS. The problem.
So it's interesting, Ayla, because he raises so many different points there. You and I have talked a lot about Treasury Department, Wall Street investment in China. We've got to decouple that because as long as we keep investing over there, they're going to keep taking advantage of American companies. But this idea that you're going to build windmills so you can attach to the electricity grid and send malware down the line. And in Texas, we have our own utility grid where I broadcast from. You could infect Lord knows what. I've never even heard of something like this until that.
Absolutely, Grant. You know, if you're looking at that, CCP's critical attempt and or critical focus was to the essential infrastructures in the United States, right? Whether it was, you know, a windmill, whether it was the establishment or the purchase of that land from a CCP general, right by the Air Force, largest Air Force base, and you know, in Texas, or even if you think about all of the cybersecurity attacks that we've experienced and observed in the past years, they were all looking at attacking and obtaining information from the critical infrastructures in this country.
It is frightening to think that they have the technology to do something like this. I mean, the electricity grid attaches to every single entity in whatever it is serving. So from homes to businesses to government agencies, government buildings to the Air Force base, to if you could send malware down the line, and then infect, and also, and I don't want to gloss over it, but he said, monitor the electricity grid. Why would they want to monitor the electricity grid? We already know there are Chinese parts in many of these transformers that they have the ability to run a back door into the grid to take control of it. So all of this, why we would let this happen, I have no idea. After hearing that one soundbite, I say there should be no Chinese company allowed to connect windmills to our electricity grid.
Exactly, Grant. And with all of, you know, these grids and any other related industries and parts that the critical industry facilities must use, that we must exclude all CCP factories and CCP produced products in order to merely just keep and guard our last line of the safety in this country. And if you look at, you know, the Chinese Communist Party, and this was, you know, just reminds me of the Baltimore Bridge collapse, that CCP could use, you know, remote traction technologies to cause any vehicles and central computers or, you know, any other transportational devices to lose power and simply one control and simply one button and 1 minute. And if you could think from that and thinking about that they can implement malware into our electricity grids, you know how much power that they can gain and what, you know, other damage that they can cause.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all very, very frightening. This was Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI. I don't have a lot of confidence in this guy, but here he's talking about greater threats, and a lot of this conversation was surrounding China. Listen.
Our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. But now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall just a couple weeks ago.
So there you have it, talking about these coordinated attacks. We know we have open borders. We know there's been Chinese nationals come through. We know that there's been people from terror-born countries that are coming through. He's talking on a big scale, but he also did get down into the nitty-gritty that China plays a large role in this. And Ayla, if I could ask you, the idea of chaos to China is everything when it comes to wanting to carry out whatever its intentions are. It loves chaos, and it loves America right in the midst of that chaos, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Grant. If you look at all of the CCP's propaganda, there was never one single day that the CCP will tell Chinese people that the United States is living in peace and wonderful lives. And this is exactly where they want to, you know, and they want to stimulate chaos in the homeland and even in the around the world. This is a way that the Chinese Communist Party could distract people from you know, the tension or the you know, the blaming on the Chinese Communist Party itself. And if you know, race speech and race and, you know, kind of like expression about you know, the concerns of the coordinated attacks within the homeland reminds me of CCP's fox hunt operations in our country. The problem here today is that we've already seen agents who use the fake IDs, fake visas, fake passports from the Chinese Communist government to travel into the United States and to start to conduct activities that suppress Chinese dissidents, suppress those who are listed as CCP's enemies. You look at Miles, and you look at, you know, the indictments that was filed in the New York Eastern District. These people who have been worked with the Chinese Communist government have been trying to suppress and protest against Chinese dissidents in this country for a long time. It's a year-long campaign. And who knows, you know, what other CCP agents can do with a coordinated attack, not only to dissidents, but can also harm the citizens of America.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when I think about what China does on its own home country, it tries to build confidence up about how great China is, and even though the people of China are under such oppression from the Chinese Communist Party, they want you to always believe that China's winning, even when the economy right now is not doing well. Ayla, did you see this story out of the Beijing half marathon where these African runners let the Chinese runner win?
Exactly.
It's amazing to me that happens. I'm going to play a news clip here of what happened. It spells it out. The video is there as well. To me, it's unbelievable. I would have to believe the African runners were paid off to do this. The one African runner claimed it was his friend, which is why he let him win. Doesn't really make much sense, but let's watch this.
Our next story is all kinds of bizarre. It's funny. It's confusing. But it's also cheating. On Sunday, China hosted the Beijing Half Marathon. Some 20,000 runners took part. They had to cover 21 kilometers. Up ahead, four runners were stuck together, one from China, two from Kenya, and one from Ethiopia. The African runners were slightly ahead, but in the final stretch, something strange happened. The African runners asked the Chinese runner to overtake them. How embarrassing is that? The eventual winner was He Zhe. He finished 1 second ahead of the African runners, but clearly it was all rigged. You see, He Zhe is quite the star in China. He's 25 years old. He won the marathon gold at the Asian Games. He also holds the national record, so making him win was a priority for the organizers. One of the runners from Kenya has spoken out about this. He admits letting He Zhe win. But guess why? Because he was his friend. As far as...
So, I don't believe the runner said he let him win because he was his friend. I do believe that he's a national champion, the runner who won, but I also believe Xi Jinping probably played a role in all of this.
So, Grant, you know, this is very, very common in the sports and China. And in fact, it's a disrespect to all of the athletes and across all industries and all games. One of our leading supporters in the new federal state of China, whose name is Ye Zhaoying, she's a world champion, a badminton player back at the time. While she was playing for the Chinese national team of badminton, she was actually asked from his coach to lose her Olympic games to another girl because the other Chinese national athlete was actually into a relationship with the coach. And that was a huge scandal back at the time, in the Olympic history as well and in Chinese sports history as well. But I can tell you one thing, that this story was not only to one athlete, right? If you look at the marathon, you already knew that all of the winners were prearranged. So there was no meaning for them to actually hold that game because you would already know the winner from day one. From when they started, you already know who will be the final winner.
Do you think they pay off those three African runners? Are they paid to let the other guy win?
Oh, absolutely. If they were not paid by cash, they were paid by other interests as well. And if you understand, CCP's general strategies of attracting people from Africa and Middle East to travel or to study in China, you always find that the Chinese government and even, some student organizations are paying them more than they pay the Chinese students to study in the university.
Amazing. Quite the story. And to see at the one point where he literally holds his arm out for the other runners to slow down, which is just amazing to me. But we're so grateful for you, Ayla, and the whistleblowers inside the Chinese Communist Party who help you and your teammates there at NFSC gather this information so we can hear it and inform really the world about what's going on. And I know they do that to great risk. So please pass along our great thank you to all of them. And new federal state of China, we appreciate you. Ayla, we appreciate you coming on, as always.
Thank you, Grant. Last word of today's program is it's actually a special day for the new federal state of China and for the founder, for Miles Guo himself as well. April the 19th marks a 7-year of the incident while his first presence in the Western media was being cut off by Voice of America 7 years ago. So it was a special day for the movement and for all of the supporters. And,
wow.
And thank you, Grant, as always.
Absolutely. Amazing stuff. And again, we appreciate you coming on, Ayla Wang, with the new federal state of China. Folks, that's going to do it for us. May I remind you, grantstinchfield.com is my website, grantstinchfield.com. Go check out that. You can see all the podcasts there. They're all there. And I urge you to go back and check them out. Subscribe, please. Spread the message. If you're watching this on Rumble, Facebook, or now YouTube, share and like and subscribe as well. We appreciate that. I will see you all tonight on the Real America's Voice show, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you tune in there. We so appreciate you. And make sure you have a great weekend as well. I'm Grant Stinchfield. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you soon.